This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Have with these systems that Obama and Brennan have marshaled through is a kind of a concretization of this idea that the United States is perpetually and indefinitely at war. And everything that we're seeing with these renditions and secret detentions and drone attacks is something that flows from that. So whilst the United States perceives itself to be perpetually at war, these kinds of activities will go on. People like these three defendants will be regarded as being within the jurisdiction of the United States and being the enemies of the United States. There will be no space for reparations for people that have been wronged, that have been tortured, that have been wrongfully rendered.
Clara Guthridge, we're going to have to leave it at that. Director of Equal Justice Forum and Ephraim Savitt, lawyer representing Mohammed Youssef. We want to thank you both for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:02. Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with host Lisa Loving. Today's guest is Carl Wolfson, former host of Carl in the Morning on AM 620 KPOJ.
KBOO Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater presents a monthly film series on the second Thursday of each month. January 10th at 7 p.m., we present the 1988 film Talk Radio, in which a rude, contemptuous talk show host becomes overwhelmed by the hatred that surrounds his program just before it goes national.
Open your mouth and tell me what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk Radio! It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore. Let's go to the first caller. Night Talk.
Before
Agnes,
the film, yeah, we'll hear Carl Wolfson, who will talk about his experience as a talk show host in Portland. And the film will be introduced by a KBOO board member and Wednesday Morning Talk Show host, Lisa Loving. That's January 10th at the Clinton Street Theater at 7 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/kboofilms.
It's been snowing in Afghanistan, and 3-year-old Janan died last Friday night, the first to freeze to death this winter in Kabul's ragtag refugee camps. The United States spends $10 billion a month on the Afghan war, a war that Professor Zahir Wahab calls a failure on all fronts. Will we ever leave? What will we leave behind? Join me, Linda Olson Osterlund, for a deeper look this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. My guest is Dr. Zahir Wahab, back from his work with teacher training in Afghanistan. Tune in to hear his unique and important perspective on Afghanistan 11 years into the war. That's this Thursday morning on a deeper look at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, this is Joanne Hardesty. Join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for a conversation with City Commissioner Amanda Fritz. What are her priorities for this new term? What are your questions for her? Please join me on Thursday, January 17th from 8 to 9 for Voices from the Edge on KBOO.fm Portland.
It is 8:05 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Today, Our guest is Carl Wolfson, former host of Carl in the Morning on AM 620 KPOJ, talking about his experience as a progressive talk radio host in Portland and his new online show. Carl, thank you so much for getting up this early and being here with us.
Well, early morning radio, what a concept, Lisa.
Wake up, people. I'm just kidding. Anyway.
It's great to be here.
Thanks. Carl is going to be speaking, as you just heard, at the KBOO screening of the film Talk Radio tomorrow night. That's Thursday night, January 10th at the Clinton Street Theater. KBOO is kicking off a year-long partnership with the Clinton Street. KBOO programmers are going to be showing films, special films related to different aspects of the KBOO community every month of 2013. So it's going to actually get wild by the end of the year. But we're kicking it off with Talk Radio. And Carl, tell us about your new show. What's the new show going to be called? When can we listen to it? What's going on
with
that?
Well, we're going to call it Carl in the Morning. And essentially, Lisa, what we're doing is moving 2 hours of my KPOJ show to the net. We're going to do, instead of 6 to 9 a.m., we're going to do 7 to 9 a.m. live. We're going to stream it on the net. And you can stream it to any of your smartphones or computers or tablets. It'll be available in podcast. Instead of doing a podcast, we wanted to kind of replicate the live experience. We'll have plenty of phone lines. People can call in. We intend to have our loyal listeners and then some, and our regular guests. So we built up quite a stable of local and national guests for 6 years on KPOJ. They'll all be with us. Some same fun features.
Carl, I just want to jump into this issue. So here on the show, at KBOO Wednesday Talk Radio, we have regular listeners. We have a community of listeners. You have a community of listeners. I'm curious, you know, what is the role of talk radio in our society and in our community? Sometimes I think that the role of talk radio is a little different in our local community than it is in the national society. I'm not sure about that. Listeners, I'm planting that seed in your mind, listeners. Listeners, what do you think is the role of talk radio in our community? And of course, that number is 503-231-8187. But Carl, I mean, and what happened with KPOJ with the flip of the format? What is your take? What is talk radio what happens in the industry?
The question you pose, Lisa, goes right to the heart of what happened with KPOJ and Clear Channel. Radio should serve in the public interest. That is the charter every commercial licensed station has from the FCC to operate in the public interest. And what Clear Channel has done, and Clear Channel operates 7 stations in the Portland cluster, by flipping KPOJ from a successful progressive format for 8 years with Fox Sports, which is syndicated by Premier, which Clear Channel owns, so that's vertical integration, they have essentially taken 3 hours of local, my show, of local progressive talk and thrown it to the wolves, basically. So what we have in this case, and in many cases across the country, is more consolidation, less diversity on the airwaves. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but David Sirota parted ways with Clear Channel in Denver at KHOW.
And we've had him on this show before,
Fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic. David is a prolific author. I say a friend of mine, been on the show many times, a great liberal voice, and no details were released by either David or Clear Channel why he parted ways. As you know, 1190 up in Seattle, a CBS-owned station, has gone to sports. And, you know, really the devil here is the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which allowed for, you know, the stated reason was more competition. The exact opposite happened. It sped up consolidation. If you were to come to Portland, Lisa, in the 70s and wanted to talk to radio station owners, and there were 15 AMs and 15 FMs, you'd have to talk to 15 different owners. The most you could own was 1 a.m., 1 FM. Now, in the market of 45-plus stations, you can own up to 8 radio stations. And we have Alpha and Entercom and Clear Channel, which dominate this market. And, you know, we're unfortunately moving to a point now where you could have equipment in a closet for a radio station, just syndicating shows. And you know, while I was at Clear Channel for 6 years, I saw 25, 30 people leaving. And let me make one final point. And I'm glad that Willamette Week and others who wrote about this issue after the format switch pointed it out. In 2006, Bain Capital, took ownership of Clear Channel and saddled it with debt. Right now, Clear Channel still has $16 billion in debt. And that's why they have to cost cut.
Mm. And when you say you can own eight stations, by you mean a big
one
corporate
entity. That's right.
Somebody with more than $5.
Lisa, you and I can't own it unless we mint that platinum $1 trillion coin.
We could maybe get married to someone at Bain. Depends on what state we live in. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. Our guest live in the studio is Carl Wolfson. We're talking about the institution of talk radio. And before we go to the callers, I want to put out that I think that one of the roles that talk radio plays in a community and in society is for people to have a voice in their community. But I know that people also try to use those talk radio shows, use those talk radio hosts as like chess pieces to try to get them to make social change too. So that's a kind of, in a way, what engagement means. And we're going to go to the phone lines. And Joe is on the phone. Joe, are you mad about fluoride?
Oh, good morning. And I would like to have anybody out there within listening distance that can contact Kim Kaminsky and have her call. I misplaced her phone number because I was going to call her last night and have her call in this morning because she has all the facts and figures.
About fluoride?
Carl, yes. Carl, I agreed. I used to listen to you. I used to bifurcate my listening between KBOO and KPOJ quite a bit. But when it came up to the subject of fluoride, you seem to be just another fall-in lockstep with the corporate lackeys of Clear Channel, and you want to poison us with fluoride. Why you want to do that, I don't know, because like I say, I agree with you about 98% on other things, but I think you're a traitor, and you have no business being on KBOO Radio, because KBOO Radio is for independent-minded people who can think for themselves that don't want to be stuck with a poison in their water, which is going to kill a lot of people with kidney disease and people with immune system disorders and anybody else with fragile health. And you've heard the people down at City Hall that came in and testified. I'm certain that you did. And so I believe you have no place on KBOO, and if I would have had any say in this, I would have stopped you from coming on to KBOO, and I think that people should go out and protest the movie that you're going to be announcing on, you're going to be emceeing on Thursday night, I believe it is, at the Clinton Street Theater.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe. Thanks a lot, Joe. We totally get the point, and it's all or nothing. It's absolutely all or nothing with Joe. Let's go to the next caller.
Is that all or nothing, Joe?
Let's call him all, and I'm not even against that.
Wow, that was a guy who agreed with me 98%
of the time.
Wow.
But with the fluoride thing, no, you're out. Let's go to the next caller. Let's see what's going on. We got Sean on the phone. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I wanted to thank you first, Carl, for all the progressive pop quizzes. I've got a bunch of books and a bunch of buttons around here. It was a lot of fun playing
thanks,
that over
sure.
the years. but I wanted to get to this media landscape that we're facing. Like, mm-hmm. Where I'm at, I mean, we are bombarded all day long with the likes of Lars Larson, Victoria Taft, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck. It's like, and then if you add into that all the Christian stations, these right-wing so-called Christian stations on radio and television, it's really like this ultra right-wing bombardment. And so I guess my question for you this morning, Carl, was, how are we supposed to have any sort of a countervailing force to this corporate capitalism that we face when we've just got such a crushing narrative coming from the far right wing? And, you know, and that anti-fluoride stuff, that's pure Alex Jones garbage. I mean, that it's incredible the number of people that I come in contact with who are normally intelligent, you know, left-leaning people, and all of a sudden they're spouting all this InfoWars nonsense. So just wanted to put that out there, Carl, and thanks for all your years of hard work.
Sure. Right. Thank you very much. And look, I think it's good to look back and understand why we have this dominance of the right wing and the corporate media. And there are two reasons for it. In the 1960s, clearly, think tanks that were formed, such as Heritage Foundation with Joseph Kors' money, they were seeing the influence of academia and liberal intellectuals in the country, the policies of Kennedy and Johnson. They didn't like it. And they set out to create a new narrative, a new worldview, as it were, for conservatives. And talk radio was an outgrowth of that to create a new reality, if you will. They formed an alliance with the Christian right. And we ended up with the Christian right and groups like these conservative think tanks funding talk radio. You know, I used to do comedy, Lisa, and I'd travel around the country, and the caller is right. I mean, you would hear Rush Limbaugh and Christian radio. Fox News copied the radio model. And what we're seeing now in the country, I think it's quite interesting, is stark reality coming in contact with this crazy right-wing world that has been put in the heads of so many people who listen to right-wing radio and Fox News.
Fewer it people read newspapers, right, well, and you can it, well, just tune into the
well,
radio.
Well, I mean, here's what's positive about it. When people are exposed to different views, and we have more diversity, more local radio, more voices, that's how change happens. When you come in contact with someone who's gay, and you've never met a gay person before, look at the progress of civil rights, that just integration in the military forced on segregated areas like the South. So I think people, because of social media and because we're a more mobile society today, we're much more in contact with groups that have been vilified or falsely portrayed by this right-wing. Look at Obama. We were talking before the show. Obama's is a moderate.
He actually came out last week or recently and said that if he were being judged a couple decades ago, he would be a moderate,
right,
Republican.
The debate we ought to be having in this country is to take President Obama from a moderate, from my point of view, and moving him left. Now, he has moved left on a number of issues, but the spectrum of our debate ought to be, okay, the president's a moderate, let's move him center left. But the point I'm making, in the conservative head, this guy is a Marxist, he's evil, he's not even American. That's the kind of reality that this right-wing this right-wing cabal, and Hillary Clinton, by the way, was right on this vast right-wing conspiracy, has put in the heads of so many people. So we are not aligned, I think, with where the country is. I think we're center-left country, but a large portion of the country, because they only get Fox News, they only listen to right-wing radio, live in a different world, a world that doesn't exist. The second point I want to make is that it wasn't just the radical view of Christianity that co-opted the Republican Party. It was the supply-siders. That merger of supply-siders with the evangelical Christians. The Christians got in the 80s the power for the supply-siders to use. So it's the corporate power of the Republican Party in lockstep with those who want a different view of the world that have created this two-headed monster of the Republican Party. But I have to tell you, even though we bemoan the fact that there's more right-wing radio outlets, Lisa, I think the influence of those outlets is less and less every year. I believe it.
I think it's true, too. And I judge by talking with my family. You know, one of the issues that I have around the fluoride debate in this town is that it's a circular firing squad. So we just had this charming guy, Joe. I mean, I do like Joe. Joe called and basically told Carl that I agree with you 98% of the time, but that 2% is so bad that I'm
so
taking you down.
Of you.
And I'm going to go demonstrate at the talk radio movie to hurt KABU because, you know, I'm saying a circular firing squad is a bad idea and the left wing is famous for them. And I just want to caution people about that. I think that one of the issues about talk radio as we see it in the United States, you know, other countries have talk radio too. It's not as virulent as here. People don't call up and scream and pound and yell and threaten each other, which I have seen. And I should say that I've heard it on talk radio in Portland, Oregon. But I think this issue of does talk radio divide people more? Or does it bring people together more is an interesting one. And we have a couple callers.
Okay, sure.
We've got Joanne. Joanne, what do you think? You are a user of talk radio. What is your take on the role of talk radio?
Lisa, first, so you folks please be patient with me. Some of my pain is ganging up on me. And I got a feeling after I hang up, I'm going to get a response to my call, like when I called into Joanne's program. And she had Randy Leonard on, and he said after I hung up that I need a cup of coffee. Well, here goes. You know what? Oh, gosh, I don't know. I might hate myself again for calling.
No, go ahead.
But anyway, we got to stop all this talking. It's not making a big impact on the, I'm going to call it evil. That's what it is. It's evil. Even it's more complex than that. And we've got to be physical, and don't ask me what I mean by that. But anyway, I'll hang up.
Thanks again, Joanne. So here's what I hear Joanne's, this is what I hear Joanne saying, and I've heard this a few times. The talk, talk, talk is not the helpful thing. The do, do, do is the helpful thing. And I have to say, now there's talk radio and there's talk radio, but I hear talk radio, when we do it on Wednesday talk radio, mm-hmm. we try to bring people in and show, on KBOO, we try to show people what you can do. I often think KBOO is the antidote to despair, because we have people on the air who are giving you the information to go out and do something.
Well, I agree with you. And look, you can talk about talk radio as a whole, but you know, Lisa, you and I are not like Michael Berry out of Houston.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael Medved. He's my favorite. Every year he has a Bigfoot show. Go ahead.
We're not like Glenn Beck. We're not like, so I reject the grouping of talk radio. The model that I tried to follow in 6 years at KPOJ was to be interesting, entertaining, and relevant, to talk about issues that had incredible relevance to our lives. I mean, we ought to be talking and acting about fair wages in this country, about trade reform, about repairing our infrastructure, and setting goals for the country that are realistic, that help people's lives, and breaking through the mumbo jumbo that we hear from corporate America that has paralyzed so many people in this country. And I reject the notion that we just talked mm-hmm. on the radio. Mm-hmm. We did. So many people who are our loyal listeners, and so many people, I'm sure, as your loyal listeners, Lisa, are so involved mm-hmm. in Death with Dignity and fighting animal abuse. That's the beauty of bringing a community together on the air that can share, and gosh, wage theft. When is wage theft in this country ever talked about in the corporate media? It was on our show. We could find out exactly what our labor commissioner, Brad Avakian, was doing to fight wage theft in Oregon with a constrained budget. And I saw all of our listeners, and listeners are different too. Some are passive. Some just like to spout off. But I believed our community was always out there doing things. And, you know, Lisa, you get out of the studio. We had tremendous events where we could give to charities, where we could work together. And our loyal core was always there doing. Mm-hmm. Dialogue is part of doing. I reject the notion that it's only talk.
And having said that, I do want to say, I think that Joanne does make a good point. When I go home to visit my family in California, and my mom, well, I was talking with someone about my mom before the show. I love my mom so much. She's 82. She lives in a trailer park. So she's with a lot of people that are retired. They spend a lot of time now watching television or listening to the radio. And sometimes it's amazing to me the earworms that come out of her when I start mm-hmm. talking to her. And I know it's because she's been listening to people that have been listening to conservative talk radio.
Right.
I used to work as a fill-in online news editor at a conservative radio station here in the Portland area. And it's interesting what Joanne says, because I think that it's possible that you could argue that some of these conservative shows are hate-mongering shows. And some of these talk hosts like Glenn Beck, if they can paralyze people with fear, it creates ramifications.
Right.
And I'm not sure if I can say that that's Glenn Beck's goal. Actually, Glenn Beck's goal is to make a lot of money.
Sure.
That's what his goal is. So it's an interesting thing to see how Joanne's point plays out. And I think there's talk radio and there's talk radio.
Absolutely. And that's the point I'm making. And I'll give you another example. I mentioned Michael Berry. The two AM sticks owned by Clear Channel here in Portland, or KEX, which is kind of they won Rush Limbaugh, but they also have Paul Lindman in the morning, who's moderate, Mark and Dave in the afternoon. They're kind of moderate and good people. But they run Rush Limbaugh, and a couple years ago, they put on this Michael Berry, this hate monger from Houston, Texas. Now, I would debate him. I debated him for a year. I'd finish my show at 9 o'clock. We'd go tape a debate. And they would run it on KEX to promote my show, and I'd run it on my show to promote his show on KEX, cross-marketing. And I met Michael Berry 4 or 5 times when he was in Portland. Very nice guy, Ivy League education, smart guy. Really, it didn't take me long to discover he doesn't believe a word of the crap that's coming out of his mouth. It's an act. It's a performance. And what they're doing on the right is trying to mimic Rush Limbaugh and make as much money as possible. And you put your finger on the word. It's fear. And look at the sponsors of Michael Berry. Guns, gun shops, He knows there's an audience out there that lives in this alternate reality I was describing earlier, that is fearful that Obama and Muslims are going to take over the country and gays are going to molest their kids. And it's an act for money. Let's call it what it is. Now, I don't doubt that there's some right-wing radio hosts who actually believe what they believe. But my goal on air was to always try to be who I am, to say what I believe. I've been a political activist since college. I'm a liberal, a proud liberal, and I take my beliefs on the air. I am who I am, and I think my audience reflected that as well. And so just know that, you know, here's the sad part about it. You know, Michael Berry can make a lot of money. Rush Limbaugh can make a lot of money. But at the end of the day, what have they done for our society? What have they done for the world that's positive? Very little, in my opinion. So maybe you and I make a lot less money, but we can sleep well at night. And I think moving social justice ahead as a goal is far better than instilling fear. And so let's understand that there's different types of talk. You know, and Dennis Prager, for instance, I used to listen to in Los Angeles. He's an intelligent conservative. I disagree with most of his positions, but I can listen to Dennis Prager. I can't listen to the Michael Berrys of the world. I stopped the debates with Michael Berry right after Bill Clinton had given the speech at the Democratic Convention. And instead of being an upfront guy and saying Clinton gave a really good speech and really dinged us, the conservatives, Michael Berry compared Clinton to Hitler. He called Barack Obama a big-eared ass clown. I mean, that's what I faced in the debates every week. Why debate that? So I just stopped it, because there's no reason to debate someone who's putting on an act and is not going to change. That doesn't further the dialogue. That doesn't move anyone ahead in this country. And that's really what we're facing, frankly, with the Republican Party that has been taken over by the evangelical right, this radical, crazy view of Christianity, and by the corporatists. They control the Republican Party right now. And I don't think you can really debate most of these people. That's where we are with that party.
People are running away from the Republican Party in their large numbers. And also on that, that's an interesting point to make in light of Joanne's point. You know, what is talk radio for? The talk doesn't get anything done. Joanne, maybe it goes even deeper than that. Maybe we're talking about people that are paid to be performers. I almost said clowns in a sense. I've heard from people that work for Lars Larson that he's a really nice man.
You know,
an African American woman that worked for him for a long time, and she said he was one of her most profound mentors, and he helped her get ahead. And it's such a dichotomy.
Frankly, I'm tired of hearing that, Lisa. I heard the same thing about Rush Limbaugh. I had met someone a couple years ago who was a sponsor on Clear Channel stations who knows Rush Limbaugh personally and told me, he's such a wonderful guy. He's a philanthropist. He's a nice guy. Well, to me, that accounts for nothing compared to what he spews out on the airwaves.
And this is interesting when you think about the show that KABU's sponsoring tomorrow night at the Clinton Street Theater, the film Talk Radio, because that's kind of, in a sense, what it's about. Like, anyway, we do have a couple of callers. It's 8:28. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and we're live in the studio with Carl Wolfson. He's the former and future host of Carl in the Morning. It's going to be on his new show.
Yeah. It's going to be on stream live at carlwolfson.com. And
starting when?
On Inauguration Day, the 21st, 7 to 9. Obama got a second term. I think we deserve a second term.
Okay.
And you can stream it live at carlwolfson.com. It'll be available in podcast. Netroots Radio is going to carry the podcast. We hope others will. And as I said, we're going to have the same callers, same features, and every subject except fluoride. And
he's joking. And because he said that, we're going to go back to the phone lines, because I know there's people that want to talk about fluoride.
God.
And we have David on the phone. David, what do you think?
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
All right.
Long-time caller, first-time listener. No, that's a bad joke. Actually, it's the other way around. I've been listening to your show for years, and I think you're a very fair and balanced host.
But
and forget All or Nothing Joe and Mr. Kim Trails fluoride guys. But I wanted to ask you how you feel about the callers that you have, because, like I said, I've been listening to your shows for years, and it seems that some callers have a monopoly on the show, as far as there seems to be about a dozen callers who call every day, And it's like they make the show their own.
You know, it's interesting what you're bringing up, David. And I think that is a great and fascinating point. And thank you for calling. I think that talk radio has its own community, and that there are some people that are more likely to pick up the phone and participate. People are more outgoing. There's a lot of people that listen and never feel comfortable calling. There's a lot of reasons why people never call. And one of the things we find is that women don't call as much in the morning because we're trying to get the kids out to school. There's all these reasons why people don't call so much. And I want you to know here another thing, that our engineer actually has to keep a written roster of who calls. And so we know who calls, and that's not a CIA thing. That's us trying to evaluate how we bring more voices on the air. And I take pride in how many people... You're calling for the first time. I take pride in how many people call Wednesday mornings for the first time. And that's why we try to change up the topics. But if you have any ideas about that, that's great. I always encourage more people to call.
You know, Lisa, you're right on with that. In 6 years of doing 6 to 9 drive time, it's a very segmented audience, or can. I mean, we had a lot of people who listened to us all 3 hours, but people are getting up, they're getting ready, they're making breakfast, they're getting the kids off, they're on the way to work, they're at work. We always told them, when you get to work, stream us so you can bug your right-wing coworkers. We had kind of the same thing. We had a number of callers who called often, but they were very interesting callers with different perspectives. And I knew, obviously, we had so many more people who were listening. And the emails that I would get, you would have people who would email a lot but never call in for a lot of reasons.
I think there's different streams, yeah.
Yeah, and when after I was laid off on November 9th, it just, I always knew we had a very loyal and very deep and very wide audience, but it really even shocked me how many people with Facebook messages, stacks of letters sent to me by snail mail, emails, the outpouring of support that I had. And it tells you that the audience is much more engaged. You don't have to be a caller to be engaged. We love all our callers, and we did have some characters who called in from time to time, but that's diversity, and that's great. But I think you're absolutely right about that, that there's so many more people. It's the tip of the iceberg, and people choose their own way to participate in a show. And just because you don't call in doesn't mean you're not as engaged, you're not as much of a doer as anybody else.
All right. And I want to thank David for calling. And we do have another caller. I wanted to go back to the phone lines. We have Thomas on the phone. Thomas, what's your take?
Yes, good morning. Well, my take's a little bit different. I consider myself to be a creature of the left and someone long and supported progressive politics and civil liberties and so forth. And I got to tell you, it's very clear that there's been ridiculously anti-intellectual, hateful, and partisan right-wing talk radio for decades in this country, and it's had a negative effect on the discourse. But there's another angle to this, and that is that this has been disproportionately highlighted and spoken about ad nauseum by members of the establishment left and hereditary Democrats. And, of course these things are outrageous, these claims that people make about Obama and the claims that were made about Clinton. But ironically, you see what happens is that this sort of raw meat, the criticisms that are so ridiculous by the far right, almost serve to make everybody rally around blindly and completely avoid legitimate, substantial, meaningful criticisms of either the Democratic Party or really existing candidates or people in office.
Right. Is it David?
Yeah. Thomas. No, it's
Thomas. Thomas, I absolutely agree with you, and you're right on here, and you made the point even sharper than the one I was trying to make about this alternate reality that they have out there.
A bubble.
The bubble. That serves for those who aren't as intellectually curious, to keep them in that bubble, that worldview. But it also serves as the shiny object, the shiny object that you're talking about. The reason Michael Berry focuses on whatever he does is to keep people distracted from that intelligent discourse, that depth of dialogue on either side. You're absolutely correct.
I don't disagree with the words that you just said. That's surely true. But I'm trying to make a different point, which I feel is much more germane to the conversation, and that is that what's happening is that we have a situation where exactly the same sort of criticisms, the same sort of in-depth look and discussion and analysis that went on for the 8 years, let's say, for example, of the Bush Jr. administration, of its depredations, of its connections to big business, of all of the history of the cast and characters involved, of the heinous nature of the civil liberties and spying, it is almost Orwellian to contemplate that the establishment left and the Democrats have almost completely, in an Orwellian fashion, been able to not engage in any degree of self-criticism, of self-analysis, and the very same policies either continued or furthered by a Democratic president, which we called Reagan the Teflon president. You want to talk about a Teflon president where nothing sticks?
I would suggest that you should have listened. Let me suggest that you should have listened to Carl in the Morning for 6 years, and I hope you'll stream my show at carlwolfson.com, because from the very beginning, was one of the fiercest critics of President Obama for a lot of the reasons we're still talking about today. The nomination of Brennan to CIA and rendition and drones was one of the most
outrageous.
Absolutely. And the pick of Larry Summers and Tim Geithner at the Treasury, there was no fiercer critic of that than me.
Well, they're not disappointments. They're outrageous. They're
of course.
Outrageous in exactly the same way they're outrageous when Bush did it, exactly the same way they're outrageous when we were writing books about how horrible they were, and all we can do is use the word disappointment. We can't say we're outraged. We can't even use the word responsibility of these people, and I think it's completely anti-intellectual. I listen to Air America on and off, and I couldn't stand it because of partisanship and exactly the same type of echo chamber dinoheadism. And I think until we can criticize our own party and be absolutely non-hypocritically fair across the board on these absolutely vital issues, we're not going to go anywhere.
Look, I agree with you.
Thanks for calling, Thomas.
Thomas, let me just add this, because I agree with you. If you listen to the Air America lineup, you heard many differing styles and points of view. Tom Hartman and I were people who were very quick to criticize a lot of policies of the Obama administration. Randy Rhodes, for instance, different style, almost always supports the president. I think we had a diversity of viewpoints on the left as well. But this is exactly what we're talking about, Lisa, not only a diversity of viewpoints from right to left, but having the time to drill down on subject after subject. You know, Willamette Week wrote a story after Clear Channel switched to sports, and I think generally is a very fair story. But there were parts that were not fair to me, and one was that I was somehow a lackey for the Democratic Party. And that is not true. I called him as I saw him. If anyone knows how I felt and expressed my views on Ron Wyden after the senator made this dalliance and alliance with Paul Ryan on Medicare premium support, I called out Ron Wyden as toughly as I called out anybody on that show. And I think that's our job. And I appreciate what Thomas is saying, comparing the left and the right to being echo chambers. But I would caution you to go show by show, because there are a lot of people, including David Sirota, who was just let off, who have been very critical. I mean, I line up a lot more with Chris Hedges than I do with Barack Obama. And I have had Chris on the show. And we didn't let anything pass and give anyone a pass because they were a Democrat. And that's how I like it.
Mm. And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It is 8:38. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in the studio with Carl Wolfson. He is the former and future host of Carl in the Morning. He's going to be taking his show online to carlwolfson.com. Tomorrow night, Carl's going to be speaking at the KBOO screening of the film Talk Radio. That's the Eric Bogosian, Tad Savinar film. That's tomorrow night, Thursday, January 10th at the Clinton Street Theater. It's at 7 p.m. We have this information at the front desk. We are taking calls right now, people. We're just sort of chewing on Talk Radio. What's it for? What does it do? And it's interesting because we've heard from, actually, Joe was the first one calling, and he was very angry about fluoride. He literally illustrated. He showed us what talk radio is for, basically. Free exchange of ideas.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, you know, I don't know that I expected fluoride to come up this morning. We had a very intense 3-week debate about fluoride on KPOJ. I probably spent more time digging past a lot of stuff that's out there on the web, which is fear-based about fluoride. I know I'm probably going to get people moving here into the science of it, into the study of it. We had both sides represented. We had a person on from the CDC. And I made my decision, and I'd say probably half the audience agreed with me on KPOJ and half disagreed. But I don't recall, Lisa, that in that 3 weeks, and it was a very lively dialogue, that I had a single caller who was kind of as nasty as Joe was today in throwing down the gauntlet and saying that I should be boycotted for sponsoring an Oliver Stone, not sponsoring, but speaking at an Oliver Stone movie. As a course, we didn't have a lot of, you know, Eric Bogosian, the actor who plays.
He also wrote the screenplay.
Right, right. The lead character in talk radio is a nighttime guy. I think the nighttime audience, at least back in the 80s, was a little different than a morning audience today, maybe on a commercial station like KPOJ. We had very few people. I got one death threat by email in my 6 years. But, you know, I have to say that Tom Hartman showed me many emails where he received death threats. People said they wanted to torture him because he was a Marxist and all of that. I didn't get so much of that. I don't know why. Maybe people are a little lighter in the morning and they get angrier as the day goes on. I don't know. But generally, I tried to keep topics, even topics that divided audience, such as fluoride, on a courtesy basis with our debate. I don't think I would let people go too far either way in hurling insults. And I think you see more of that on the right wing. I think you see more of it at night. And you're going to see more of it in the talk radio movie. I haven't seen it since it was out in 1980. I'm looking for it. Have you seen it?
No, I'm totally looking forward to seeing this movie. It's a movie that KABU is showing at the Clinton Street Theater tomorrow night. KABU is kicking off a monthly partnership with the Clinton Street Theater for the entire coming year. Every month you're going to see different kinds of programmers, music programmers, public affairs programmers, sponsoring films. There's even going to be a variety show, I believe, in the month of February with the Contessa is going to be hosting a film screening. And we are here, we're talking about talk radio, we're talking about Carl Wolfson's show, we're talking about what is the role of talk radio in society and in our communities. And we do have people on the line, people who have, you know, Carl, I just feel as though there are certain issues that are more hot button issues than others. And with the fluoride, even more than the police accountability and public health and other arenas, the fluoride thing, it's just so it's even a violent discussion. And what really got my attention at the end of the day with the fluoride thing was the New York Times covered that like a blanket in the year 2011. Many municipalities, including in New York, were debating whether to either put fluoride in or take fluoride out. And at the end of that year's coverage, the New York Times did an editorial where they chastised the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, for them not coming out with an unequivocal statement about what is the federal government's stance on fluoride, because the New York Times pointed out that the CDC, actually all the materials they put out contradict themselves, which was really interesting to me. That was a fascinating thing. But it does worry me to see, they're ready to threaten you. They're going to punish you for your opinion. Right. And I could wish that we could be more reasonable and be, I don't know. It's like, are you really going to throw the whole thing away on the throw of your fluoride dice when we're really also talking about communities of color, health equity? What worried me about the fluoride thing was seeing all these organizations that represent communities of color that I know, people of color that I know, who were calling for this fluoride thing, and then suddenly they're seeing all the progressive people ready to just shove their opinion down their throat. Right. The racial politics of this are ugly.
You know, we're at 844 with fluoride, and I don't mind it because, I'm always up for a great discussion. But one of the interesting things that came out of our 3 week plus discussion of fluoride was the simple inequity that people of low income do not have that kind of protection Because, you know, it reminded me of Katrina and how the right wing just assumed that poor people in the city should, as Bill Maher said, just get in their SUVs and go to their vacation home. People do not have access in many cases to proper dental care. And the equity issue is one that I don't think people addressed very much or even thought of when it came to access to proper dental health. So, you know, again, we could spend another 3 weeks on fluoride here. And believe me, I went through the studies. I saw studies misrepresented by the mainstream media on either side. Mm-hmm. I made my decision, and I welcomed people who disagreed with me. We had a vigorous debate about it. I happen to agree with Amanda Fritz, who said that the debate should have been had in council before the city council came to the decision that
the
they were going to fluoridate. So I do critique the process by which the city council arrived at the decision. But, you know, I guess the fluoride debate shouldn't just stand as an hour-long metaphor for our example of talk radio. But maybe it should.
It's true. Although, again, though, here's the thing, Carl. People want to believe that they're heard. People want to be heard. And I think that's the most visceral aspect of talk radio. People want to know that there's somebody out there listening to them.
Absolutely.
And I think
this
that's
goes
really
to
the
original
the
question and one of the original callers, who's Joanne, who said, talk, talk, talk. Well, the people who called my show, and I'm sure the people who called your show, Lisa, were down at city council protesting on either side. They were doing as well as talking. It's a perfect example of what Joanne was critiquing.
Right. And I have to say, I have beloved friends on both sides of this issue. Okay, coming up on this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, Joe Meyer hosts a discussion about the apartments about without parking that are springing up all over Portland. Is this good green growth or a giveaway to developers? The guests are local activists Ruben Doomling and Tamara DeRitter. At 10, on the guest on Air Cascadia is former CIA officer Ray McGovern. Wow. Host Chris Andre will interview him about the prospect of John Brennan at the helm of the CIA. Dude, you're going to want to be on these airwaves at 10. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, Kevin Pina reports on a kangaroo court going after former Haitian president John Bertrand Aristide. And Nora Barrows Friedman presents the weekly report on occupied Palestine from the Electronic Intifada. I love the Electronic Intifada. At 11 on the Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen discusses winter pruning and planting. My husband was up on a great big ladder on Sunday doing crazy stuff in the wind, and my neighbor tried to get him to come down from the ladder. Thanks for listening.
How did that go?
It gravity just did its thing on that. Thanks for listening to KBOO, and thanks KBOO members for your support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to the tip jar and clicking on the donate today button. It is 8:47. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm Lisa. We're live in the studio with Carl Wolfson. We're talking about his once and future show, Carl, in the morning. We're talking about a special benefit for KBOO tomorrow night at the Clinton Street Theater, where we're going to be there for a screening of the Oliver Stone movie, Talk Radio. We're talking about what is the role of talk radio. We've got a full slate of callers. Let's rush to those phone lines. Is it Nancy? Nancy, yeah. You are so patient.
Thank you.
What's
I'm
on your mind?
I'm a KBOO member, and I'm a Carl Wolfson loyal listener, and I support Carl totally. What talk radio is all about for me, especially the liberal talk radio, is information,
mm-hmm.
information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what we need so much in this climate where corporate media is giving one side of the story, we're not getting it all. So we desperately need this information about our politicians and all the interviews that were done and the political action that was done from Carl and that side of our politics. But I wonder about two things. One of them is, why aren't we fighting for freedom of the press through the court system and justice? Why has right-wing taken over our airways? And then the second thing I wanted to mention is, the right is so well organized. When you get these nasty calls like fluoride, he received an email or a tweet to tell what he was supposed to say. And they are so organized and so hateful. And then they're patted on the head for being organized and hateful. And those two things are really a problem in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy. Let me respond. Nancy said a lot there, and I love what she said at the beginning, that she's a KBOO supporter and a Carl Wolfson listener. I never viewed KBOO as a competitor at all. I think
why not? Don't you think we're a big dog?
In fact,
actually,
commercial
and non-commercial are like apples and screwdrivers.
Look, I gave
them
to KBOO yesterday. I have given before. And I absolutely am in awe of the volunteers who come here and learn the art and craft of radio.
Me too.
I think it performs a vital function if we're going to have a healthy and diverse media in this country. I'm 100% for KBOO. And, you know, you're talking about liberal firing squad. You know, people
firing squad.
This is, people who would say, oh, KBOO versus commercial radio, Lisa versus Carl. And I love that Nancy hit the nail on the head with that. As far as taking legal action, there has been some talk from some about challenging the constitutionality of the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Let's be really clear, because when George Bush was president, he did something to, and I'm going to use the word emasculate, the FCC's rules about public community service regard. They did a whole lot of things, but anyway, go ahead.
Red Lion versus FCC, and I believe that case was 1969, upheld the constitutionality of the Fairness Doctrine.
Mm-hmm. The Fairness Doctrine, that's what we're talking about.
Right, and it was Congress that ditched it under Ronald Reagan back in the 80s, and it was a Reagan-appointed FCC. It was a Reagan campaign shill who was appointed to the head of the FCC, who put out the report that the Fairness Doctrine was adverse to free speech. So the Fairness Doctrine has been ruled constitutional. It's just, will the Congress have the will to look at it? But the courts are certainly a viable route, and I would counsel Nancy to be patient, because a lot of these issues will be adjudicated in the courts. And, you know, when it came down to voting for president of the United States, I mean, I understand that Barack Obama in many cases is a moderate, but did you want Barack Obama appointing Supreme Court justices or Mitt Romney? And for a lot of people, the election rode on that one issue. Nancy, I don't recall the other point. You made a lot of points, but thank you very much. And, oh, I know what I want to say. One of the segments we had on Carl in the Morning was Day in History, which we would do. And I'm a lover of history and a lover of politics. And we kind of took a Howard Zinn approach to history. We'd pick out something that happened on that day and look at it from an angle that's not usually seen, a perspective that's not brought up. And, for instance, the Lincoln movie that's out now is a terrific movie by Steven Spielberg. But, you know, it's about the 13th Amendment, but does not include, I think, I love the movie.
It doesn't include black people. I mean,
it doesn't
Sojourner
include the role
Truth
of
met him.
Abolitionists.
Douglas,
right.
Frederick Douglass met him. Anyway, go ahead.
And by the way, if I quoted anyone more often on my show, it was Frederick Douglass, who said, "Power concedes nothing without a demand." That's important for liberals and anyone to understand. But, I mean, there were omissions from that movie, but we would use that as a launching pad to go into parts of history that are not taught in our schools, that don't get wide coverage in the press. And thank you, Nancy, for your comments and our perspective.
And let's go back to the phone lines. Let's see who we've got. We've got Randy on the phone. Randy, what do you think?
Okay, so we both like Dennis Prager.
Now, okay.
Dennis's contention is that the left makes out the right to be evil. They're fear-mongers, insincere, in it for the money, etc. Well, the right says that the left is not evil necessarily. They're just wrong. What do you think?
I disagree.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks for calling.
You know, you notice when I talked about Michael Berry and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, I also included the man whom you referenced, Dennis Prager, and said that not everyone on the right is that way. But there's enough of the right, and let's say the loudest, the most petulant on the right do condemn the left for being more than wrong in their eyes. They do condemn in very hateful terms. And I frankly, Lisa, don't think that's the model of the future. I think, you know, you look at the last election, I think people have had it with that in this country. You know, there's always a segment that's going to be prompted by fear and anger. But I think the message of the last election, and, you know, can it be lasting? I hope so, is that shows that get into the dialogue, that get into the proper business of democracy, which should be solving problems and providing the best for the least of us, ought to be the purview of talk radio and all of our lives. I hope that's the model for the future. Mm. I hope that the Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh model is one that is fading.
When Glenn Beck went after Francis Fox Piven, he jumped the shark for a lot of people, even Republicans. That's like attacking, I don't know, Bambi. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're running out of show. Let's try to get some people in here. Ed, what's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking
my
Ed. Carl, I was just wondering if you could comment on what restraints you have, like when a caller hits a subject that you say are a little bit hesitant to take up, and why you might not want to go too deep into a certain subject. You know, there's certain ones that I'm sure are taboo or you're afraid that might give cause for you to be marginalized. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Ed, thank you so much for calling. What a juicy question. Where are your boundaries? What's your taboos?
I gave very wide berth to our listeners. When someone engaged in personal invective, when they cross the line from being personal, from being discussing an issue and got very personal about it, I crossed the line there. But I had very wide berth for issues. There were a number of issues where we had to be a little bit cautious, or let's say respectful of other listeners. But I gave very wide berth, and I can't tell you that I'm just thinking back on 6 years where I ever cut off a caller when it was subject oriented. I think it was more, people wanted to cuss on the air or create havoc with. I want to say something about an earlier caller. We did have right wingers who would call in the show. We knew who they were. It happened often around election time where people actually get paid to call up and challenge liberal hosts about something. They would have their talking
points. Are you kidding? Oh, I could do that for a living.
Yeah, you could do that for a living. Now, I'm sure they weren't paid a Mitt Romney salary. They were paid a pittance to do it.
Not out of Bain.
But we could tell who they were and their phone numbers and so forth, and we didn't allow them on the show because they were just there to create havoc.
Chills. We are running out of show. I have to say that last week I hit a Rubicon because one caller called up and he said that he thinks it's quagmire politics to help people from being foreclosed from their homes. It's quagmire politics to support people that are trying not to get thrown out of their homes, and that everybody should give their money to the Revolutionary Communist Party newspaper and start stockpiling guns. That freaked me out. I was pulling the plug on everything and everybody after I heard that. And you know what? There's no FCC rule about that. We can't talk about sexual or excretory functions, but we can talk about stockpiling weapons, and that's weird. We're starting to run out of show. Let's go for one last caller. We have Leslie on the phone. Leslie, real quick.
See, this putting the lie to you. Don't have a lot of female listeners and callers in the morning.
Leslie, go ahead. Don't listen to him.
I'm a black person who opposes the fluoridation of water. Mm-hmm. And just like that, there are callers who are paid, right-wing callers who are paid to call in and create havoc. There are also so-called leaders in the black community who are paid off to support certain industries. The tobacco industry used to support jazz festivals, used to support music festivals, used to give hundreds of thousands of dollars out in the black community and scholarships to maintain their existence and to support the use of tobacco in the black community. And now there's this big push by some food manufacturers to have so-called black spokespeople support GMO foods in the black community.
Yeah.
So just fluoridation is exactly the same thing. It's another industry that's being pushed by manufacturing interests, by some industrial interests who want to have this waste dumped into a commercial product instead of having to pay to have it properly disposed of.
Leslie, I want to thank you for calling. We've got 1 minute left in the show, and I hope you call again, and I hope you call sooner in the hour. Carl, we're
Leslie
on the show.
Has a great point about corporations and their bottom line.
Looking
versus,
at the money flow.
And the money flow. I differentiate fluoride from GMOs, which I think GMOs are evil. I didn't find the nefarious effects of fluoride in my research, but hey, I appreciate the passion
all right.
of all your callers and listeners. Thanks.
I have to say, that's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Paul Wolfson. Find out more about his new show at carlwolfson.com. Don't forget, Carl's going to be speaking. Carl and I will be speaking tomorrow night at the Clinton Street Theater screening of the film Talk Radio. That's tomorrow night, Thursday, January 20th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on the show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
Kills your street, does a bar kind. If you don't die, you're booked and doing time. That's not to wait to live your life, son. Be clean, fear, and help, please try to find fun. Soldiers of the mind, we save mankind, bringing love me to death across the borderline.
I had to hurry that song choice so I could say it is 9 o'clock straight up. You know how I love to say that. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis in Albany. Coming up next on Political Perspectives, your host Joe Meyer speaks about a discussion about the apartments without parking that are springing up all over Portland. Is this good green growth or a giveaway to developers? The guests are local activist Ruben Doomling and Tamara DeRitter. At 10 o'clock, the guest on Air Cascadia is former CIA officer Ray McGovern. Host Chris Andre will interview him about the prospect of John Brennan at the helm of the CIA. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, Kevin Pina reports on a kangaroo court going after former Haitian president John Bertrand Aristide. And Nora Barrows-Friedman presents the weekly report on occupied Palestine from the Electronic Intifada. At 11 o'clock on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen discusses winter pruning and planting.
KBOO is proud to be a media sponsor of An Evening with Dr. Michelle Alexander, Wednesday, January 16th, 2013, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Emmanuel Temple, located at 1033 North Sumner Street. Dr. Alexander is the author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. There will be a community fair, community panel, and Michelle will read from her book. For more info, go to kboo.fm.